Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, this is me and all my homies love native manu. Welcome back. And this week, Itiwi, we are talking about the Matuku Hurepo, the Australasian bittern. And here to talk with me, as always, e te whānau, is my homie, the Birdman, your BFM icon and legend, is Pete Tonda.
Oh, morena, Liv. Good to be here, as always.
Good to have you, Petey. Now, tell us, we're talking about the Matuku Hurepo.
Yeah.
Tell us about the classification of this manu, please, Pete.
Yeah, and that booming sound, that was the sound of the male.
Yes.
Calling, and that only happens during sort of breeding seasons.
And but the female doesn't really have...
Doesn't say much.
Oh, yeah, God,
quiet, but strong.
I just love to hear a woman be loud, so that's disappointing.
Anyway, it's a native bird, but it's also found in Australia and New Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
Arrived here about 1,000 years ago. It's threatened and nationally critical.
So really,
which means that it's really buggered.
Yeah, we're really at a breaking point.
It's in a bad state, highly endangered in all three countries.
Mm.
And they don't quite know the number because they're very elusive birds. But there's somewhere between 250 and 1,000 left in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
It's on the ICUN red list, which is the International Union for Conservation. That's sort of a global watchdog.
I've never heard of them before.
Research body. Yeah. And they monitor endangered species close to extinction and sort of promote, work to bring them back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not good to be on the red list.
No, not at all. It's really – I think it's going to be a bit of a sad one today.
Yeah, a bit
of a sad one. But we'll offer some hope, maybe.
We'll have a few laughs along the way.
Pete just said that to me with a straight face. We'll have a few laughs along the way. Okay, the Māori relationship to the Matuku Hurepo. Matuku is the Māori name for herons, and repo is the name for wetlands and swamps. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. So it can mean heron of the swamp.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's good.
And you said, Pete, it's also symbolises patience and guardianship.
Yeah. I think it's because they can stand there in disguise and they can sit there very still and blend it in. So it is all about patience. And they're seen as a sort of guardian of the wetlands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I came across this passage, because they also, for Māori, they represent loss and grief. And I came across this Facebook passage that described the booming as a tangi ringing across the marshes.
Wow, that's
I
really
that
beautiful.
I thought was really powerful.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Yeah. And a tangi that we need to hear more often, because we're not hearing it a lot with the loss of the numbers of this manu. But back in the day was a food source, but post-colonisation, the population has been decimated because of our destruction of
wetlands. Yes.
And feathers have been used in kākahu and adornments.
And on weapons too.
Weapons.
They were quite important for weapons.
Yeah.
In terms of just giving the warrior a bit of mana going into the battle.
Yep, I love that. And there's a kōrero about Turi. He settled in Pātia, come from the Aotea Waka. And he left his empty pā and he recited this karakia to the Matuku to protect his pā whilst there was no human occupation there. And when I was reading about this, it said if any of his enemies heard the Matuku Hurepo flying, they'd know not to come.
Right.
To know not to attack.
Right.
Because Yeah, like they knew that the Matuku was talking to Tiri.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool to hear about.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got some whakatauki as well. The first whakatauki is Mehemia ka haere te makutu, Mehemia ka haere te makutu I te pō he tau waipuke. Pete, can you tell me what that means?
Yeah, so it means if the brown bittern goes about crying in the night, a season of floods will ensure. And it's sort of
an example
of like weather law and
sort of
observing the natural signs.
Yep.
And I reckon the Matuku Hurapo must have been crying a lot lately.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've just had all these floods across the Motu, lots of tragic losses.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in that theme of there's a bit of grief and loss going on around this at the moment.
Yeah, huge mamai ngā motu at the moment, and hearts go out to those who passed away in the Mowal landslide. Yeah. Our second whakatauki, kei te mātuku I huana I te repo. Tell us about that one, Petey.
Yeah, a bittern booming in the marsh.
Mm.
And that was
kind of relates to what you were talking about just before.
Yeah, it's used as a lament. It's sort of evoking feelings of deep grief, sorrow, loneliness. Mm. And that male manu boom was the sound of sorrow.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. That's really beautiful, man. I love that. And our last whakatauki, he mātuku noho uta. What does that mean?
Yeah, a bittern sitting on the shore.
Yep.
And it refers to someone who's patient, who's sort of waiting, and it sort of mirrors the behaviour of that manu in the raupo reeds.
Yeah, the raupo reeds, mean.
Yeah.
Which is we'll get into where they live soon, but firstly we're going to talk about, how would you describe this manu, Pete? What are they looking like?
Yeah, large, stocky manu.
They are quite big.
Yeah, but very tall. They're like 74 centimetres tall.
Which is like the height of a regular dining table, guys, for comparison.
That's right. Yeah, well done. Yeah,
I did an architecture degree.
The males weigh up to about 1,400 grams and the females about 900 grams.
Yep.
And they're this streaky sort of dark brown and beige plumage on their throats and breast and belly and thighs. And then they've got a dark brown on the neck and the back.
Mm.
And the head's dark, except it's got this little pale beige around the cheek and it forms a sort of eyebrow or eye stripe.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
makes their eyes really stand out, because then they've got, when I was looking at the photos of them, like the juvenile birds have really like yellow eyes, but then the adult birds have like quite coppery coloured eyes.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's, and it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, their beaks are made of keratin, which is the same protein and you find in hair, skin, and nails.
Oh my God.
So their beaks can sort of, if they get damaged or something, they repair themselves.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they've got sharper vision than us and can see ultraviolet light, which helps them see stuff that we can't, which is maybe also plays into the fact that they're hiding away. They don't want to see. They're scared.
I don't think they want to see much of us. Very secretive.
Yes.
Mysterious manu. And, you know, I don't think many people out there have seen them.
Yeah.
The masters of disguise, they just spend all their time in the raupo, in the swamp.
Mm.
If they're disturbed, they'll kind of thrust their head up and freeze. It's called a freeze.
Yeah.
And then they just blend in perfectly and they look like the raupo reeds.
Yeah, amazing.
With their shape and colouring. So,
I mean, it's I'm just looking at some photos of them and they're pretty incredible, the camouflage, isn't it?
Yeah, once they get in that pose, they just kind of disappear.
Exactly. So, yeah, we've mentioned that they're hiding out within the raupo reeds. So tell us about where they're living, Petey, and what are they chomping down on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've only seen one in the wild. Coming back from Port Waikato, I saw one beside the road. I was surprised how big it is.
Mm.
And then it just flew over the fence and disappeared into the swamp. Mm. Their habitat's wetlands and
swamps.
Do
they fly much?
Not much.
Yeah, just no. Kind of out of necessity.
A lot of their movements are just walking around.
Oh, I love that.
But they do move from wetland to wetland, so they can fly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's probably not their preferred mode of transport.
Walking queens and kings.
So, yeah, live in swamps. That's why they're so endangered, because we've basically drained, removed, destroyed over 90% of all our wetlands.
Yep.
So you basically wipe out more than 90% of the population. Mm. Same thing in Australia and New Caledonia.
Where they're also found.
So they're mainly found in Te Taitokoro, Waikato, east coast of the North Island and west coast of the South Island, all around though.
And, yeah, a big stronghold in the Whangamariro wetland.
Yeah, used to be.
Waikato.
Had a big fire in 2024 and that wiped out quite a bit of their habitat, which was a shame.
Yeah, it was a really big shame.
And they eat fish, eels, frogs, insects, worms, lizards, and freshwater cora, the crayfish.
Yeah. They're eating good.
Yeah.
It's a mean diet.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
But obviously it depends on the quality of the water where they're getting their kai from and the abundance of that food source also.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, guys, we're talking about the Matukuhure port, the Australasian bittern. It's one of our native birds. It's found here in Aotearoa, Australia and New Caledonia. And the breeding patterns, it's got, obviously, do we know much about their breeding patterns because they're so elusive or, yeah?
But what we do know is that there's a stark lack of equity here. It's all on the wahine, on the female.
It is on the wahine,
The female builds the nest. It's like a nest made of reeds in the middle of the swamp, about 20, 30 centimetres above the water.
Mm-hmm.
They lay about 3 to 5 olive brown eggs between August and December. And it's incubated by the female alone for about 25 days. And the chicks stay in the nest for about 7 weeks. All the feeding's done by the mother.
Where's the fucking father?
Exactly. Well, the males are polygamous.
So they're going out dating other people.
They are.
And mum's at home.
Mum's at home. And so they got these little harems going on. And I think they're spending all their time defending their harem and they sort of forget about those partner support activities.
Oh, my God. God, where's the freaking co-parenting, the bitterns?
I know.
I love to talk about the parenting makeup of our native birds.
Isn't it strange how some, like we talked about the kereru and the male kereru's producing milk, for
I
God's
know,
sake.
And like sharing, being on the nest as well. And the fucking bitterns just like, I'm going down to a freaking pub. See
I've
you
done
later,
my
missus.
Bit. I've had my fun. See you later. See you next year.
Whatever. But we still love you guys. We still love the bittern. Yeah. And finally, Pete, we want to talk about some threats. We've talked a lot about the wetland loss.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we really got to restore wetlands.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great mahi going on restoring wetlands.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the more we do, the more we'll get this manu coming back.
Yeah, did you, we had some shout outs you wanted to give to some wetland restoration
groups. When I was at Doc, I had a bit to do with Matuku Link Restoration Group. They are near Bethel's Beach, West Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing awesome mahi restoring wetlands, and the Matukuhurapo is coming back there. So that's awesome.
Out near Tehinga Bethel's Beach, there's a wetland out there where
A series of wetlands, and even where there used to be wetlands, they're just damming and restoring and creating new wetlands.
Amazing.
Which is cool. And the Wairarapa Moana Wetlands Conservation Project,
out.
I read about them. And they're doing lots of predator control on quite a big wetland system. And so the numbers are recovering there.
Yeah.
And there's this guy I see on Facebook all the time, Peter Langlands. He's a Canterbury-based scientist, and his life is around studying this manu. And so he's doing lots of research about their distribution numbers and figuring out conservation
options.
So he's doing awesome mahi there.
Yeah.
And there's a heap of others.
Yeah. It's cool. It's heartening to see all these people and iwi and hapu doing amazing mahi.
Oh, iwi's doing a lot of work around this. They're always supporting these projects and giving guidance and using mataranga Māori knowledge and stuff.
Yeah.
And predators, stoats, rats, cats, they're always there.
Yeah.
And poor water quality and makes the food availability reduced. So it's all these things holistically. We've got to do a better job of, you know, looking after this manu because they're on the brink.
Absolutely. And I think it's just important, like, to remember why our wetlands are all gone is because a lot of them were drained to make up for farmland.
Well, the flat land, the low-lying land, the very the alluvial often, the fertile land.
The Canterbury
Pines. So they make really good farmland, but, you know.
Yeah. So at what cost, though? It's at the cost of our native manu and their all our biodiversity, really. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of farmers that are doing some good mahi in there.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to shit on the farmers all the time. Because
they're fencing off their streams and they're restoring wetlands, and a lot of farmers are real leaders in the space as well. Yeah. And good on to them. Yeah. Good on them.
Shout
we need more
guys.
Of them doing that.
Absolutely. And appreciate that mahi. I actually picked a song today.
Yes.
Pete sent me a song and I was like, absolutely not. No, well, I didn't say that. I was like, we're not playing that song. Well,
we're not playing that song.
But I just searched up Matuku, songs about Matuku, and this one came up from follower Matuku Matuku. It's a really special song. It's a bit of a reggae vibe. So, yeah, that's going to send us off into our kōrero today. Thanks for coming up, Pete.
Pleasure.
And just I hope you guys have learnt something about the Matuku Hurepo today. And send us a text if you've ever seen one out in the wild. We'd love to hear about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mate wabo.
Kia ora.
Te awae wai puke ka huna.
Ah, isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.